This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
And we thank you for his present and first wisdom that he has given to all of us and to the world. It gives us great pleasure, again, to present to you Imam W. Dean Muhammad. That is, God is greater. We greet our audience, our live radio listening audience, also with the greetings of peace. Our greetings is peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the Lord, creator of everything. We thank him for our presence here. We thank him for our life. We thank him for our faith. And we pray that he forgive us always, forgive us our sins and shortcomings, and grant us his mercy. For without his mercy, we will never find guidance. This is a time in the history of man prophesied of long ago. It's described in different ways, but it is a time when things that have been moving human life and supporting human life are bringing human life to a conclusion, not to death, as you would perhaps think, not that kind of conclusion, but a conclusion like we see in living things that began as a seed or as a life germ and continue to grow and progress until a life form is completed. We are seeing now the conclusion of our growth as human beings. Science will tell us that there was a time in the history of our life form when we didn't have civilization, we didn't have city life, we didn't even have education, we didn't have even language, and we were just living like other animals, not much evolved above apes or monkeys and other animals. But life came from that very low life level on the scale of life to become the human life that we know today. And God did not say to us with revelation, communication through his servants of messengers, the prophets. He did not say to us that he created us instantly. He created us in stages. And we have come a long ways, one stage after another. And each stage gave us more life, more freedom, bigger life, bigger in the terms of education, knowledge and education, but bigger in the terms of also of possessions. Possessions not only of knowledge, but possessions of material things. And there is also in the scripture prophecy concerning the natural growth, for want of a better word, I call it the natural growth, or the dynamics, the inherent dynamics of material things. The natural growth of material things would have an effect on how we conclude our life. In the scripture, the Bible scriptures, we have a focus on city life, and how city life becomes so crowded, and material things become so plentiful, and people begin to put more importance on things that they possess than on the good life that God created us for. Begin to put more importance on material things than you put on the life of children and our aging relatives. So we lose the sentiments, we lose the innocent nature and innocent sentiments, feelings that we came into as human beings and became known by those sentiments, by those feelings, as our form of life. Yes. And when we lose those sentiments, those feelings and sentiments for each other, for the weak, for the helpless, for the young and for the old, when we lose such sentiments, we become inhuman. That means not human. Not human. Though we are still in this picture that we see, hey, that's a human being. The physical picture says to us, that's a human being. But prophecy said, they'll be in that same flesh, but the flesh will be dead as a human life. Be dead as a human life. That is, your heart will be dead to real human life. And we have seen this happen, and we see it all around us sometimes. People dead to real human sentiments, to real human feelings and concerns. So the Bible focuses on city life because people come from small places where there's not much to support their life, and they gather where people are gathered in big numbers, because where people are gathered in big numbers, there's a lot of production going on, a lot of work going on, and a lot of things provided for human needs. So they come to these places for work, mainly for work, but also for place to live, etc. And the city gets so crowded, they lose their human nature, their human sentiments, their human feelings. They lose that to their interest in these temporary things, or perishable things, and fun life. They lose their human life, their human, good human life, to those concerns. In our book, in the Quran, the book of the Muslims, very much like the Bible, cities are mentioned too, but also it mentions the piling up of wealth. Piling up of wealth. That people will just be competing with each other in the act of piling of wealth. And we know that there are such people. They're competing with their neighbor. Neighbor get a new Cadillac, they got to get a new something to top it off or match it. So it's called rivalry, mutual rivalry, to accumulate wealth or to amass wealth. And we're told in our holy book that that will bring you to your graves. They will do that, and it will bring you to your grave. You will be caught by it. You can't get out of it. You'll be tied up by it. And you will keep doing that until you die. Bring you to your grave. It doesn't only mean physical death. The worst death is to die as a human person and live as a beast or as a wild animal or a senseless creature who has no concern, no feelings, no love, nothing to share, but just greed, driven by greed, wanting to get more and more and more and more. Such persons will give, but they give to possess more. Their giving is not an act of kindness. Their giving is just to possess more. So they don't buy a person and put them in chains, not physical chains, but they buy your friendship and your loyalty, and what you have to give them in return are the chains of a slave. Yes, they bind you to them, and you become a slave. And the only thing can save us from such form of slavery and such misery in our souls and hearts is to keep to the behavior that God created human beings for. Behave kindly towards your neighbors. Behave kindly towards your relatives. You have an extended life. Your life is not just in your body that you look at in the mirror. And last night we saw a wonderful, marvelous play live at a theater that is run by started by one of our brothers, African-American brothers, in this community, and is still run by African-American brothers in this community. An old friend of mine, I've known him for a long time, brother, called him Brother Lee back then, his name is Ali. Performance that I'm referring to now was really a song done by a young lady. And in the song, she says, look beyond the exterior. Your flesh is your exterior. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at your exterior. She says, look beyond your exterior. She said, can you see what I see? And she went on to talk about how God created the interior to be so precious, so valuable, so useful, so productive. But we can't get past the exterior sometimes to appreciate the interior. That was a wonderful, wonderful song that she put together and performed so wonderfully last night. Yes, a little thought on things, and we will see that most things of value, the real value is not outside, the real value is inside, especially when you're talking about life. And God says in both books, the books of the Christians and Jews, three books really, and in the books of the Muslims, God compares our life with the life of plants. And we know this story of Jesus inviting people to faith, and he said in the New Testament, the Gospel, it is written that Jesus said, if you had so much faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now here he's comparing human life to a plant life. So if you just have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could do wondrous things. yes, I was made a gardener by my mother. I was a little boy, a little young boy, and she planted a garden. She planted herself. She comes from the South. She comes from Georgia. She knew how to make a garden. She had us dig the ground and turn the ground over and help her make the rows. She showed us how to plant the garden and then had me water it and take care of it. So I became a gardener, so to speak. And I know a mustard seed is so small, a little breeze can blow it away. Yes, it's so light, so small and light in weight, that a little breeze can blow the mustard seeds away. You got to be careful holding mustard seeds you're going to plant them, because a breeze can blow them away from your hand. You won't even have them. But that little mustard seed pushes up a plant, and it becomes a bush. And its weight is millions of times way heavier than the seed. Look what it produced, how small it was, but look what it produced. And the gospel is telling us that if we just have faith, just a small amount of faith, it can do great things. So the seed of that mustard holds the big mustard plant. It's got it right in the heart of the seed, is that big mustard plant. And we know it because we don't put anything in the ground but that seed. And water and sunshine and warmth or whatever and moisture and the right food in the earth. The earth is rich, it's not sandy or dusty. And that little seed opens up and pushes up a bush. And we call it the mustard greens, huh? Mustard greens, mustard plant, mustard greens. But it's likewise for other seeds too. It's likewise even for animals. The pearl, look how precious the pearl is. But look how it is formed inside the oyster. So you have to look beyond the exterior. Huh? She said, look in the mirror. Look beyond the exterior. And she said, she asked the question, do you see what I see? We're trying to situate ourselves to be better at taking care of ourselves. Each one of us are created to take care of ourselves. You got five senses to take care of you, and then you have thinking ability to take care of you. Too busy with material things, fine cars, fine wardrobe, fine clothing, exciting lifestyles, a lot of fun. Take your mind off the most important things and separate you from the most important life and cause you to have cancer, tumors, migraine headaches, all kind of physical diseases that you think are caused by physical things coming into you. No, they're caused by physical things that your mind go out to and never come back. But we're trying to situate ourselves for a better life. And we are doing no more than God asked man to do. From the very first revelation to the last. The Quran is the last of the major books. The Revelation, the Quran, or Bible of the Muslims. Bible simply means book. The meaning of Bible is book. And God calls our holy book by the same name, book. El-Kitab is the name of one of the names of our holy book. It means the book. And if we translate it like the English translate Bible, they both mean the same thing, book. Biblio, Bible is from Biblio, means book. And the plain word El-Kitab says the book, or book. Kitab or book. And little children learn to say Kitabi, El-Quran, Kitabi. The Quran is my book. So Allah, God, revealed the book for us. It is our book. And we say, the Quran is my book. My book means my book like no other book. My book that I respect like I respect no other book. My book that I value over all other books. Al-Qur'an Kitabi. And I'm sure Christians, good Christians, teach their children to say the Bible is my book. I've heard Christians say, my book is the Bible. I've heard Christians say that. And I'm sure they say it to their children, and I'm sure many of their children grow up saying that. My book is the Bible. And the book contains the knowledge and guidance, and not only that, it contains the sentiments that are communicated by the words. Sentiments communicated from the best human life by the words in the holy books. And they are communicated to our sentiments, to our hearts, to our feelings, to sensitize us for the best human life, to awaken in us the growth of our own soul, our own sensitivities, our own life. So when you're in touch with the Word of God, you're in touch with the best gardener. And your plant is in the earth. Your plant, your life is in the earth. And you're feeding on the whole earth. Everything that you see, feel, touch, smell, or taste or hear is feeding your soul and feeding your mind. And you have to be conditioned for your mind to have the right taste for things, for your feelings to have the right feel for things, for your ears to have the right hearing for things, etc. For your eyes to have the right focus for things, for your nose to have the right taste for what goes in the nose. See, some people don't associate taste with the nose, but the nose tastes also. When something smells bad, they say, that's bad as bad. See, that's not to my likings. That's not my taste. Right? Yes. And the mouth taste, the tongue taste, the taste buds inside the mouth, we know. But something's inside the nose that works just like the mouth. It tells you that this is bad taste. Don't put it in your mouth. So it is a stop place. Supposed to stop there if that's not supposed to go in the mouth, right? The nose say, hey, now I got a few small particles of this stuff in me. And my advice to you, don't put it in your mouth. But some of us lose the good ability to get the benefit from these senses. Now, you know, I mentioned earlier that we have an extended life form. A life form that grows and grows and keeps extending itself. But we don't see any increase in physical body. The life is invisible. And your most important life is invisible, not visible. Your most important life is not what you see in the mirror, as the young lady so beautifully demonstrated with her performance last night. The life, your real life is not what you see in the mirror. Do you know there are people who have lost the arm, lost both arms, lost both legs, got nothing but a trunk, and continue to perform? Continue to do their professional work with no legs and no arms. And when they think of themselves, while they're busy in creative thought or work, they don't think that their arms are missing. People who have studied this have said that many of them make a mistake of thinking that they still have arm and legs. So in their soul, in their spirit, they're still whole. Though their body is missing major members. As long as you have a living soul inside of a body, you can have a happy life. And most of you people are actually always complaining and crying and carrying on. You look like you haven't lost any member of your body. But you don't have any life. Because you put too much importance on the exterior and not enough importance on the interior. I've seen women that look like to me fight night. That if I was suddenly wake up in the dark with them, I scream. And just a few seconds talking to them, the ugly went away. And I saw a beautiful person. The beauty within can just remove the your attention from ugliness. It's so powerful. It'll take your attention from ugliness. In fact, one of the moments I almost got involved with her. She looked so beautiful inside until I almost fell in love with that woman. But I could have. I did want to take chances on taking her home. But I could have fallen in love with her. I think I resisted it. Don't put more importance on your soul, on your body, than on your soul. Don't put more importance, as the scriptures tell us, this is a Christian Bible, don't put more importance on the whole world than on your soul. For you could lose the whole world. And if you keep your soul, you'll be saved. But if you gain the whole world, this is the Bible, and lose your soul, you're going to hell. Christians and preachers have been talking about hell for generations, for thousands, for 2,000 years, and Muslims for now going on 2,000 years, talking about hell. And both books, if you read them carefully, it lets you know you don't have to die physically to go to hell. You die in sin and go to hell. You die the death of sins and you go to hell right away while you live. So we're looking for hell after death. And hell is on the corner where the dope fiends hang out. They don't call them dope fiends anymore. But they're dope fiends. They call them drug addicts or something. Something else, you know. Got all kind of names for it, but it's still a dope fiend. Where they hang out in their misery, that's hell. And the life that they have messed up for their relatives. Got hell in the house. The house have hell in it. Hell everywhere. Yes. So we're living in hell and don't know it. Living in hell and don't know it. We can get out of hell. We can save our relatives. God says, it said through Jesus Christ again, said that a woman believed in him, and she believed in him so much she just wanted to touch him or anything that he was wearing. So she touched the hem of his garment, and her faith was so strong and love was so strong for him that she was healed. She was taken from hell. She was saved from hell by her faith. Yes. And we know that the Quran is a book that is protected by God, and the unrighteous can't get the good out of it. They can't get the good benefit out of it. So none can touch it. Look, the same word, touch. None can touch it but the purified ones. Purified? How am I going to become purified? Do I have to become a priest or a monk or something? No. You just have to become an innocent person that have good intentions. That's all you need to become one of the purified ones. When your intentions are good, God lets you touch his word. And you touch his word, and the communication from his word reaches your soul and your heart and your mind, and time reaches your mind and give you light to guide your way in the world and everywhere else. Yes, eternally. So extended life form. That's what we have. And God wants us to understand that he made us to live in a paradise. Paradise. You're the first human person he created. He created that person and put him in paradise and gave him a mate so that he could multiply and have children and the world could be, earth could be populated.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W.D. Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.